Turn to the book of Matthew, the first chapter. While we're turning there, let me say hi to all of the college kids who are home for Christmas. It's great to see you all in church. A bunch are here this morning, and it is wonderful to have you home for the holidays. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 1 is where we're going to be, but let's go ahead and pray first, and then we'll get into the message. Our Father, we thank you so much for your word and for another opportunity to open this blessed old book. And we pray that you'd teach us and instruct us in the things that you want us to learn this morning. Help us to grab a hold of some principles that we'll see in the scripture and help us to use them in our own lives, Lord, so that we might be more what you'd have us to be and do more of what you would have us to do. Guide us into the truth through the working of your Holy Spirit. And then also, Lord, we take a moment and we do pray for the Clements family. We pray that you'd minister to Matt and Rachel and be close to them. And then, Lord, I think of a family in our own neighborhood that lost a loved one this week, the Wood family, and I pray, Father, that you would comfort and strengthen them as well. And so, Father, do a wonderful work in these families and just let them sense your presence with them. Now, Lord, again, bless your word to our hearts. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. There was a movie that was on television a while back, and for the life of me, I cannot remember the name of it, but I remember that it was a very sad movie about a woman who had a half dozen small children, and her doctor told her that she had terminal cancer and she probably would be dead within about 6 months. And this loving mother in this movie set out to find homes for all of her children. And in the process of finding a home for each of them, she looked for the home that she thought could best provide their individual needs. And that movie made me think about Christmas. For example, how particular do you suppose God was when he was choosing a family to raise his son? I think that God wanted to find the best mother on earth that was available, but I also believe that God wanted to find the best father on earth that was available. You see, during the Christmas season, most of the emphasis is placed on Mary, the mother of Jesus. But I think it is equally important that we look at this father that God chose to be kind of a stepfather for his son. What kind of a man was he? And as we get ready to arrive at Christmas this week, I want us to peek into the lives of this family, and I want us to focus today on Joseph, the husband of Mary, the earthly father of Jesus. And as we do, I want us, by way of introduction, to think about his descendants. He came from some very important people. Now, we're not going to do it this morning, but if you take time to read the first 16 verses of Matthew chapter 1, you'll find that Joseph came from some very important people. People like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, King David, and King Solomon, just to name a few. Quite a heritage. So we know his family background. And although we know very little about the influence that Joseph had on the life of Jesus, we do know quite a bit about the character of this man. And say what you will, character matters to God. Character matters to God. Joseph was a just man. He was a spiritual man. He was a gentle man. He believed and obeyed God. He was a disciplined man. He was a protective husband and father. He cared for Jesus as though Jesus was his own son. And he was well known in the Jewish community. In John chapter 6, verse 42, it says, "And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven?" You see, Joseph was well known in his community, and even more important, Joseph was well known by God. And so let's go into the scriptures and take a look at this man that God chose to be the earthly father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first thing that we need to look at is his dilemma. His dilemma. Look at verses 18 and 19 of Matthew chapter 1. "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily." You know, you can't tell much about a person's character when things are going great. It's when things go sour that you can find some things out about a person's character. And if this is true, then when Joseph faced the biggest dilemma of his life revealed some wonderful things about his character. Think about it now. He was engaged to be married to this young Jewish girl named Mary. But during this engagement period, he discovered that his bride-to-be was pregnant. Now, that would be bad enough news if he was the unwed father. But it had to be even worse when he knew that he had never had a physical relationship with her. And you have to understand that during Bible times, the engagement period was considered as binding as the marriage itself. It was taken very seriously. Back then, it was certainly not like the instance when the young girl asked her boyfriend, "Honey, if we get engaged, will you give me a ring?" And his response was, "Sure, what's your phone number?" He'll get that in a second. Well, the engagement period in Jesus' time was the same as being married, except they did not come together as husband and wife. So you can imagine this dilemma that Mary and Joseph faced that first Christmas. But also think about this. What would be the natural way for a young man to react if he discovered that the woman he loved was pregnant and he was not the father? Now, I know how some men today would have reacted. For example, some men would have turned violent. Some men would have smashed some of the furniture. Some men would have looked her in the face and called her all kinds of bad names. Some men would have smeared her name in the community so no one would ever consider marrying her. But you know something? When you love someone, love doesn't react that way. In fact, the Bible tells us in 1 Peter 4:8 that love will cover a multitude of sins. That is, you may not like what they did, you may not understand what they did, but love does not seek revenge. And when Joseph discovered that Mary was with child, he most likely was brokenhearted. But he wanted to do the right thing and protect her as much as possible. And let me tell you something. If you're a young lady in this room this morning, if you're smart, when you start looking for a man to marry, You need to date only young men with a godly character. Because if you don't, then that fella that looks so cute right now may turn out to be a scoundrel later on. Look for the one with the godly character. You see, the Bible says Joseph was just. He was righteous. He wanted to do the right thing by Mary. Now, keep your finger here in the book of Matthew. We're coming back. But turn to Deuteronomy 22, because I want to show you that technically, Joseph could have called for the death penalty. Remember, they were still living at this point under the Old Testament law. And so look at Deuteronomy chapter 22. And beginning in verse 22, it says, "If a man be found lying with a woman married to an husband, then they shall both of them die, both the man that lay with the woman and the woman, so shalt thou put away evil from Israel. If a damsel that is a virgin be betrothed unto an husband, and a man find her in the city and lie with her, then ye shall bring them both out unto the gate of that city, and ye shall stone them with stones that they die. The damsel because she cried not being in the city, and the man because he hath humbled his neighbor's wife, so thou shalt put away evil from among you." And so, technically, Joseph could have invoked the death penalty. He could have had Mary publicly stoned to death. However, he chose to spare her that shame. And again, this reveals compassion on the part of Joseph. If we were grading Joseph with a report card, we'd have to give him an A+ for the way he lovingly handled the situation. It was a difficult dilemma, but he handled it with grace and compassion. Now, the second thing that I want you to see as we go back to the book of Matthew is not only his dilemma, but his dream. His dream. If you're back in Matthew, beginning in verse 20, we're going to read through verse 23. It says, But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Now, all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. Now, maybe you didn't know this, but we are in the midst of engagement season. I was just reading an article recently about how the majority of wedding proposals in America take place between Thanksgiving and New Year's Eve. And of course, some of us, through no fault of our own or no choice of our own, may find ourselves bearing witness to some of these engagements, as, you know, couples take to the streets or the parks or restaurants or stadiums or TV shows to pop the big question. And really, one of the happiest times in the life of a young couple is when they're planning to get married. That is, once they're engaged and the date has been set for their wedding, it becomes an exciting time in their life. Together, they start counting down the days until they will be united in holy matrimony. And in our passage of Scripture, I'm sure, like any young couple, Joseph and Mary had big plans. They did not see any of the sufferings to come. All they could see was that they were going to be joined together for life. But all those wonderful plans were shattered when Joseph found out that Mary was with child. Now, today in our society, this is not an unusual thing, and in some cases, it's even accepted. But back then, this was not the case. No woman wanted to be found to be with child until after she was married. But finally, Joseph heard the message from God through the angel in a dream. And he knew, he absolutely knew that Mary had been faithful to him. And that's all he needed. He knew God was in control. But Joseph and Mary had to live with this stigma for many years. They looked forward to the day when the Lord would prove to everyone that he was the Son of God and get them out from under this stigma of looking like they had committed an immoral act before marriage. Remember when Jesus was at the wedding feast in Cana and they ran out of wine, the news was brought to the Lord, and Mary pressured him to do a miracle so everyone would know that he was the Son of God. And why was she pressuring him? It was because since the birth of Christ, she had been telling people that Jesus had been conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, but they didn't believe her. And she wanted the Lord to do a miracle to get her off the hook with this bad reputation of giving birth to a child conceived out of wedlock. But the Lord told her that his time had not come. It wasn't until he hung on the cross and the earth did quake and the sun stopped shining. It was then that people said, truly, this was the Son of God. But the truth is, as the Lord Jesus grew up in this home with these two special people, he was blessed. They were godly, faithful believers and did the Lord's will no matter what the circumstances might be. And then that leads me to the third thing that I want you to see about Joseph this morning, and that is his decision. His decision. Look at verses 24 and 25. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. While it was an honor to be chosen, this honor came with what some might consider drawbacks. But nonetheless, even with all the drawbacks, we see some important things about Joseph. We see, for instance, that he obeyed the Lord's command. And of course, obedience is one of those things that reveals the heart of man like nothing else. When we obey the Lord's command, even when they're unpleasant and hard, it proves our love for him. And it reveals where our loyalties truly lie. And so Joseph obeyed the Lord's command. And then also I want you to note that he observed Mary's chastity. Mary and Joseph never came together physically until Jesus was born, thus fulfilling the scripture. If you go back again and look at verses 22 and 23, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and here's a quote from the book of Isaiah. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Now, this is an important verse of scripture, and I have to give you a little warning. He's quoting here Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. And I want to warn you about this. There are Bible versions out there now that when it comes to Isaiah chapter 7:14, they take the word virgin out of the text and they change it to young woman or young maiden. That text says, therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign, a virgin shall conceive and shall bring forth a son. Some of the modern versions say that God gave a sign and a young woman shall conceive and bring forth a son. Let me ask you something. What kind of a sign is it for a young woman to conceive and bring forth a son? That happens thousands of times a day. The sign is that the virgin would conceive. And I'll tell you this, if Jesus is not the virgin-born Son of God, then he's no different than us, and he cannot be our Savior. I remember back when I graduated from high school, I went to Barrington College, which was a Christian college, supposedly, here in Rhode Island. I went there for 1 year when I graduated from high school. And let me tell you what was going on at Barrington College. I was in New Testament survey, and the professor at this supposedly Christian college got up and told us in New Testament survey that it makes no difference whether or not you believe in the virgin birth of Christ. It doesn't affect any other teachings in the Bible. Well, I beg to differ with you. Because if Jesus is not the virgin-born Son of God, that means Joseph was his father, and that means Jesus was a sinner just like me, and there's no way he could have saved me or you from your sin. It does affect other teachings in the Bible. So watch out for those Bible versions that take the word virgin out of Isaiah 7:14 and replace it with young woman or young maiden, because there is no sign in that happening. So getting back to what we're looking at here, Mary and Joseph never came together physically until Jesus was born. We know that because the Bible tells us that. We read it in verse 25, and he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, humanly speaking, this was impossible to become pregnant without knowing a man. But you see, that's the sign. That is the miracle. And that's why the scripture says in verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Never has a child been born like that before or since. That's what the scripture means when it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. It was different from any other birth in the history of the world. You see, man is sinful. And if Joseph and Mary had gotten together and conceived a child, that child would be born with a sin nature. But Jesus was different. His birth was different than all other births. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He had no sin. He had no sin nature. He could not sin because he was God in the flesh. And this is another indication of Joseph's moral standing. A lesser man would have demanded the right of a husband, but Joseph decided to follow God's will. And so he obeyed the Lord's command, and he observed Mary's chastity, and then let me say this, he obediently named the child. The Jewish tradition was that the right of naming the child was in the hand of the father. And Joseph knew that the child's true father wanted the child to be called Jesus. Jesus is a Greek word that means Jehovah is salvation. That's what he was supposed to be named. And therefore, in obedience to God, Joseph named the child Jesus. Obedience to God was the hallmark of Joseph's life. Joseph was chosen to be the stepfather of Jesus. And we might conclude that God saw him as the best father on earth to raise his son. Joseph was the kind of man God could use. God didn't have to worry about Joseph getting in the way or of Joseph fouling things up. In other words, he was yielded to the will of the Lord. And in the light of Joseph's example, I think we ought to look at our own lives and ask ourselves, are we the kind of people God can use? Are we willing to obey God and follow God's will, no matter what the cost or the circumstances might be? You see, God will never call another man to do what Joseph did. But God has plenty of big jobs left to do. He just needs the people who are willing to do things his way. Joseph was a kind and compassionate man. He was an obedient man. He was a yielded man. And that's an example for every Christian. If you are a believer in Christ, that's the lesson for you this morning. If you want to be someone God can use, then learn from the example of Joseph, because he was someone God could use. But then let me also say this as we bring the message to a close. There was something else very special said about Joseph. In verse 19, it said that Joseph was a just man. He was justified. He had been made righteous before God. And you know how that happened? By faith. You see, Joseph did a lot of wonderful things, but those things were not what made him just with God or right with God. As a matter of fact, he was right with God long before all of these things were written about him in the Bible. He was made righteous and made justified by his faith. And you know what? That's the only way you will ever stand before God righteous and justified. It's by faith in Christ. In Romans 5:1, our Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And my message to you this morning is this: if you've never placed your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ alone as your Savior and Lord, then today is the day to do it. Open up your heart to Christ, and by prayer, invite him to come in. He's ready, he's waiting, but he's not going to bust the door down. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him. So why not open the door of your heart today and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, forgive me, cleanse me, give me eternal life. I now place my faith and my trust in you alone as my Savior and Lord. You see, Joseph became a just person before God by faith. And that's the only way you can become a just person before God. It is by faith. I will remind you again, Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you.